Hello and welcome again to Money Tips. This is Charles Kelly bringing you money tips to help you save, earn, invest and accumulate more money. Okay, today I want to talk to you about how to earn higher yields on your investments. Now look, low interest rates look set to continue for the foreseeable future in the UK and America because of low growth rates in the economy. Now whilst this is great for borrowers and people who hold mortgages, it's actually disastrous for investors and people retiring on annuities and people who just live in on their savings and they're living off the interest of their savings. Now, earning just over 1% on an ISA account or a savings account in the bank is not even keeping up with inflation, let alone giving you a good investment return. What I call is a good investment return is where you get money that has a buying power of XYZ and turning that investment into an amount of money which gives you a higher investment return, more than just XYZ. Whereas you know, some of these accounts are not even doing that. They're, you're going to get less buying power in the future with that money than you would, in these accounts because of inflation. Now, even gross yields on buy-to-let properties in major cities have fallen below 4 or 5% now. And in London, sometimes around 2 to 3%. I've had estate agents in London say, "Oh, 3% is a good yield in London." You know, that's the gross yield, by the way, before costs such as letting charges, repairs, and all the rest of it that goes with running a property. Now, so what should investors do to improve the yield or income they receive on their investments, particularly if you're relying on this to provide your retirement income? Now, you can, of course, shop around. You can look for the highest interest rates available on savings accounts. But this is not going to improve your overall return by that much. Indeed, the Sunday Times recently reported this weekend that the highest headline returns on savings accounts were offered for just 72 hours before being withdrawn. Now, investors may want to consider something different. And this is where I'm going to suggest something now, which is high yielding shares as an alternative to deposit-based investments. That's going into the stock market. Now, maybe people say, oh, the stock market, that's risky, that's scary. Okay, let me explain it in more detail. Yes, there is a risk that the value of your capital can go down as well as up. But many of the companies I'm going to talk about are blue chip companies listed on the London Stock Exchange, which have a good prospect in the future of growth as well as paying higher dividends. Now, notice I said growth and higher dividends. When you put your money in the bank, you might get interest, but you're not getting any growth in the capital, are you? Yet you'd get growth if you put all the interest back into the account, right? Then your account would grow by virtue of reinvesting the interest, but the capital itself stays the same. In a share or an asset, like a share or a property, you look for both. I would look for, in a property, growth in the property in the future because of it's growing with inflation, it's growing with demand, or maybe you can do it, it will grow just because of the area or the improvements. But generally speaking, it's going to grow. And I would also look for income as well, which I would expect the income to grow as well. Okay, so there is a risk, but I'm talking about blue chip companies. They're not fly-by-night companies. We're not talking about investing in a company that goes exploring for oil and may strike it rich one day. Okay. Now, examples of these companies, which are in the FTSE 100 index, and I've talked about indexes on previous podcasts. Now, the FTSE 100 index lists the top 100 companies listed on the London Stock Exchange. And this would include a company, the first one I'm going to mention here is Aviva PLC, which is currently paying a dividend of 8%. Okay, 8%. Imagine if you're getting 1% on your account down at the bank, and this company says, right, you can invest in a blue chip company which has good prospects for growth in the future, and we're going to pay you 8% yield, right? Now, this is not a small company. Aviva, you may not have heard of Aviva, but they're around, you know, they're everywhere in the insurance market. They're very much, they've got 30 million customers, market capitalization of 14 billion. They trade on a PE ratio, which I'll come back to, of 9.53. So they're a pretty big company. Now, if you were to invest £10,000 in the bank, what would you get back on that each year? £100, right? Now, if you put your money into Aviva shares, you would get back £800 in dividends alone and okay, that it could grow and it could go down or up, but the chances are it will grow over the longer term. Aviva was an amalgamation of two insurance companies, which included the Norwich Union, which had been around for donkey's years. You know, they're very well established and a reputable old insurance company. So there you go. That's one. By the way, their shares are trading at 374 at the moment, but they have been as high as 498, just under a fiver a share, and as low as 350 just in the last year. That's with the market going up and down. They're listed as a buy by most brokers, but could be affected by Brexit. And I'm not recommending them, I'm just giving you examples here. Shares held can also be held within a tax-free wrapper of an ISA, which means that you wouldn't even pay any tax on the income or the growth. How good is that? You know, you're not going to get that in a property, are you? Now, most people have got money in a deposit account. They can't even be bothered to move it into an ISA. So not only are they earning 1%, but that money's been taxed by the government. The government's taken a bit out of that. So you're not even getting 1%. Now, using your ISA or your self-invested pension scheme, you can hold these shares almost tax-free. Okay, another example here. This is the completely different company, the world's third largest mining company, Rio Tinto, which has a market capitalization of over 70 billion and is currently paying a dividend of 5.5% of the value of the shares. They trade on a PE ratio of 10.16. Now, their business dates back to 1873, and earnings have gone up by an average of 32% each year for the past 5 years. 32% each year for the past 5 years. Now, they had so much cash that in August of 2019, the company announced plans to return more than 2.8 billion to its shareholders. Now, some brokers have recommended selling this company because its share price has been threatened by unpredictable weather and weakened outlooks for minerals such as iron ore. And, you know, obviously mining companies are dependent on the manufacturing sectors. So if Germany, which is slowing down at the moment, and China may be slowing down, so that could affect things. But these are companies have been around for a long time through winters and summers and world wars and good and bad. So they're going to be around for a while. And companies like this generally will not drop their dividend because they want institutional investors to continue staying with them. So they're very stable. And they're the type of company that funds would invest in for good dividend yields. So they're not likely to want to disappoint their institutional investors. Okay, now another one here, House Builder. These are house builders Redrow and Persimmon. Now, they've both done well in the last few years, especially with the push for more homes all over the southeast and the introduction of the government Help to Buy scheme for first-time buyers. Now, Redrow, I'll go through those first. They have a market capitalization of just over 2 billion, so they're a smaller company, but still 2 billion is quite a large company. They trade on a PE ratio of 6.46 and currently pay a dividend yield of 5.26. The company's recently reported a jump in profits to 406 million, and up 7% on the previous year, so they're doing quite well. Annual revenue rising by 10% to 2 billion, and revenue growth has been driven by a 13% increase in completions, legal completions, and they actually completed last year on 6,443 homes. It's quite a lot. All right, there was a 2% drop in the average selling price, but hey, you know, 6,000 homes is a lot of homes. Persimmon PLC, currently paying a dividend of, they're paying a dividend of 12% of the value of their shares, 12%. That's 12%, that's 12,000% increase on what you would earn on most accounts. I mean, it's 12 times, I mean, it's just unbelievable. Sorry, 1,200, not 12,000, 1,200 increase on what you get on most accounts. It's just amazing. Now, they have a market capitalization of 6 billion, profits of around 1 billion, revenues of 3 billion, and they trade on a PE ratio of 6.75. You may have heard of Persimmon, you may have heard of Charles Church, Westbury Properties and Space4. Those are some of their trading names. Now, despite what you read in the press, actually there's been around 200,000 new homes built each year for the past few years in the UK. There's still a demand for property for various reasons. But the builders could be dependent on the government Help to Buy program, which, you know, may be withdrawn or curtailed or scaled down. We don't know yet. But as I said earlier, the price of shares can be affected by all sorts of things. It can go up and down, and the capital that you hold in these shares is not guaranteed like it is in a bank. Okay, that high dividend shares and the companies which pay these sort of shares dividends on their share price are not generally exciting in terms of capital growth. They're blue chip companies, right? Now, they're not going to be these sort of companies like exploration companies where the value could go shooting up. So, you know, you can put them on your list of companies to watch and you can wait for the price maybe to go down during a downturn, as it sometimes does, because if there's a market correction or a crash, even blue chip companies like Aviva and Rio will go down in price as well. And that's the time you might want to snap them up if you're looking at that kind of strategy. But if you're just looking for income, they're there right now, and they trade on a fairly good PE ratio, so they don't look that expensive to me. But as I said, I'm not recommending these companies because, you know, I'm just giving you these as examples, right? They're examples of shares which offer high dividends or a good dividend, which is a share in the profits, of over 5% of the share price. Dividend is a share is a share in the profits. The board says, right, we've made 100 million this year, so we're going to give out 5 million in dividends to the shareholders. That's all it is, okay? But you know, you need to do your own research. You can research online. Just Google high yielding shares, dividend shares, or look at websites such as the London Stock Exchange or many other finance sites which do a lot of this research for you. So you can look at the site and you can say what the share price has done over the last year, 3 months, 5 years. You can look at their profits, their forecast. You can read their company reports. That's the sort of research you need to do. Now, obviously, nowadays we've got so much available to us at our fingertips. It was only available in the past to stockbrokers and financial institutions. So there's really no excuse for not doing your own research and your own homework. Now, as always, seek your own independent advice from an independent financial advisor. However, I think the best way to invest in shares is to learn more about it yourself. Take courses, read books, or drop me a line. I'll get you onto a course. So, you know, you know yourself what to do. You know what sort of research to do. You know when a company is worth buying or not. You know the real underlying intrinsic value of that company because you've done your homework. And I would also say that many financial advisors really sell products like insurance related products like bonds and unit trusts on which they earn a commission. So they would probably tell you to go into a fund rather than directly investing in an asset such as a share or a property. And you know, of course, you can invest in these type of shares in unit trust or mutual funds. They're collective investment funds specializing in holding income shares. So the examples of the companies I've given you now, especially like Aviva and the blue chip companies that pay good dividends over the years. They don't drop their dividend. They maintain their dividend. Those are the type of shares which would be held in these type of funds. They're not going to be in their high growth funds, you know, more risky investments. They're going to be in the lower risk blue chip shares funds. Okay, so that's what I'm suggesting. If you're looking for a higher rate of return on your money and you don't want to buy properties and go into HMOs and serviced accommodation and all the rest of it, this is a way where you can get passive income from the shares, and you know, you don't have to go and deal with tenants and split houses into several rooms or provide bedding for serviced accommodation and all the rest of it. This is just it's another alternative to invest in. I've got to give you all of the money tips I can. Now, the word of the day today is PE ratio. Although I've spoken to you about this before, I think it's important to repeat it here in relation to investing on the stock market. So what is PE ratio? Basically, it's the price to earnings, that's the PE ratio, or value in a company that measures its current share price, right, this quoted share price, against its earnings per share. Okay, in simple terms, it's the multiple of earnings that you are paying for the business. When you're buying a share, you're buying a share in that business. Think of it as you're buying a part of that business. So when you do your research, you might want to invest in businesses that you understand or you resonate with, and then you really feel like you are a part owner in that business. So That's basically what it is. The higher the PE ratio, the higher growth that investors are anticipating in the future. That's why it's pushed the prices up. Although this could also indicate that, you know, the share price is a bit high at the moment and could be overvalued. In June of this year, the average market's PE ratio was between 20 and 25 times earnings, which is interesting, right? When I was selling the business, you'd be lucky to get 3 times your annual profits for the business, maybe 4 or 5 times your annual profits. But these companies have longer term prospects, so you know investors will pay more for them. Incidentally, Amazon, one of the largest companies in the world, probably worth $1 trillion, their PE ratio is, do you know what it is? 76, which makes it quite an expensive buy, even if investors are betting on higher future earnings. 76, that means, you know, if you wanted to buy Amazon today, you'd have to pay 76 times its annual earnings. Incredible. And there are higher than that even. I haven't looked up Apple recently, but that's got a very high PE ratio. Now remember, PE ratio is just one measure of how investors value a stock, and it should not be the only measure you use when deciding whether or not to invest. Okay, you've got to look at many other things. The management. What is the management doing? How have they been doing? Are they stable management? Do they really care for the business, or are they just there to drive the share price up, pay themselves large dividends and get out? Okay, is the company a company that will survive in the longer term? As Phil Town puts it, does it have a moat around it? These are the kind of things that Warren Buffett would look for, Charlie Munger would look for, others. I mean, there are other value investors that look for value in a company, but they look for a company that will survive. I mean, Warren Buffett famously invests in companies like Coca-Cola and McDonald's, for instance. He invests in very simple kind of businesses that are all-weather, weatherproof, perennial type of businesses that will evergreen, you might call them, that will last. Now, that's just one strategy. So you've got to look at all sorts of things when investing. The earnings growth, the earnings per share, what it's done over the last few years. And you can find these things out online on their charts. Just like if I was buying a property, I wouldn't just take the estate agent's price and say, well, that's a good price. And the one down the road is selling for more than that. So this must be a great deal. You know, you've got to look at all the factors. And as I said, I'm not your financial advisor. I don't know about your situation. So you've got to come to your own decision or seek independent financial advice. So that's all for now. Again, if you're looking for higher yields, look at the possibility of investing into shares that pay high dividends and are listed on the major stock markets and are considered to be blue chip shares. Thanks for listening. This has been Charles Kelly bringing you money tips to help you save, invest, accumulate, and enjoy more money.